Welcome to the Equipping You in Grace podcast, hosted by Dave Jenkins. The Equipping You in Grace podcast is a podcast about helping Christians develop a biblical worldview in a conversational tone about issues inside and outside the church. Now, for today's episode, let's join our host, Dave Jenkins.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Equipping You in Grace podcast. My name is Dave, and I'm the host for this show. And with us today is a first-time guest, but definitely he is not a stranger at all. His name, our brother, our friend, Dwayne. Dwayne, welcome to Equipping You in Grace, man.
Listen, man, thank you so much to your guests. I mean, to your listeners, I apologize that I haven't been on here sooner. Blame Dave.
That's all my fault, man. It's all my fault. It's all
He's been on my podcast a few times, and, you know, I hadn't been on his, you know.
I know. I'm a horrible friend. That's what you guys should hear on this, you know. So anyways, no, it's been great connecting with you. You know, we chat Absolutely. Every now and again, and always such an encouragement you are to me. So thank you, brother.
Appreciate you, man.
You too, man.
Excited to be here.
Yeah. Well, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, your life, marriage, ministry? What are you working on ministry project-wise? And also tell us about the bar.
Absolutely. All right, man. So I'm going to start with the most important, man, my Lord and Savior, man, Jesus Christ. Was saved, walked the aisles as a young kid, man, and thought it wasn't cool anymore in high school, and did my stray away, and he brought me back in. So I always have to start there. And I'm married to my lovely wife, Andrietta. We've been married, I think it'll be 16 years in July, and we have four children. I always say my children are the picture of the gospel, man, because my oldest is adopted. My son is the son I had before I met my wife. And actually part of my conversion story. And then both my two ladies that are in house, you know, one was after 5 years of marriage of trying, and one was after a miscarriage, man. So just every time I see my kids, it's a picture of just the grace of God, and just, you know, just his awesome, you know, this is how awesome he is. As far as, you know, me as a person, I work full time for a fitness company called Eager to Motivate, E2M Fitness, which I was a client first, lost over 70 pounds, and they brought me in to do podcasting, and that goes into the podcasting aspect of it. I've been podcasting since 2012. Started out with back when Blog Talk Radio. I don't know if there's any OGs out here with the Blog Talk Radio.
I was on Blog Talk back in the day, man.
Yeah, you know, man. Blog Talk Radio. And that birthed into the Bar Podcast, man. Made great connections, guys like Virgil Walker and Terrence Barlow. Some brothers that I connected with way back then, and we're still connecting. I'm sure a lot of your listeners know Virgil. And probably T. Barlow as well. So we started the Bar Podcast. I think it was actually 2014, I think, when we actually started officially naming the Bar Podcast, as we transitioned out of the Be Not Deceived, which is a Facebook page I created in 2012. With the Bar Podcast, man, it was the whole idea was to interview interesting people like Dave, man, people that write books, seminary professors, you know, artists, and you know, I am, you know, by and by a layperson. We'll probably talk about my testimony later on, and you understand why I say that. But whenever I came into the understanding of sound biblical theology and reformed theology, I was like, hey, man, we need a podcast for us regular folks, you know, those guys that aren't seminary trained, those guys that just want real honest conversation. And so that's the environment I try to create, was like a living room conversation. Like, you know, we're not going to talk a bunch of big words, and, you know, we're not going, you know, get into a lot of major terms, but we're just going to have a conversation. And at the end of the day, every episode, I want you to leave with a resource, man, a place where you could go. I always tell people the bar is the gateway drug to Reformed theology, man. It's like the first stop. So the bar actually gave birth to a network of podcasts. One of the, I guess you could say, world renowned one is Just Thinking with Daryl and Virgil. That actually was an idea of mine after Daryl was a guest on my show. And Virgil was a good friend of mine. I heard Daryl. I was like, man, you and Virgil, y'all sound alike, man. I think it'd be dope to have a podcast, man. And fast forward, man, over 3.5 million downloads later, those guys are doing amazing work. So that's that part of it, man. And we'll get into whatever direction you want, man. I got a lot going on, so I'm here to talk.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's great. tell us a little bit about, you know, your story, about your experience, you know, being in the NAR, and let's start there.
Absolutely, man. So in order to get there, we have to get there, man. You know, I'm a podcaster, so I got to tell the story, man. Because like I mentioned, you know, I walked the aisle as a kid, and then straight away. And in my 20s, you know, was running wild, you know, and God used the thing I had so much pride in. He used it to humble me, you know, when it comes to just like relationships and, you know, just using people. And that night, you know, I pretty much got caught up in a lie. And, you know, I was like, I fell on my knees that night and I was like, God, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of, you know, tired of all this mess. And so that night I gave my life to Christ, or rededicated, I guess I would say. And I got up, and I wish I could say happily ever after, man. But what I did is I turned on TBN. That's the first thing I did when I got up, man. And here's the reason why. It took me a lot of interviews to figure out the reason why I turned on TBN. So the reason why I turned on TBN is because I was an athlete and a musician. Where are the best athletes in the world? On TV. Where are the best musicians? On TV. So in my mind, where are the best preachers? On TV. Bang, wrong. I didn't find that out till later, man. But yeah, so I turned on TBN, man, and literally, because, you know, I was going out every night before then and just running the street. So it just turned into me like really just diving into, you know, just watching televangelists all the time and thinking I'm, you know, getting fed. And for, you know, like, I guess there's some things in there that wasn't all bad, you know, and that's probably part of the deception is, you know, there is some scriptural things involved. And so fast forward, man, I met my wife on MySpace. That's another throwback for all my old heads listening.
I met my wife on MySpace too, man.
Hey, that's what's up, man.
What's up? What's up? What's up?
Hey, we right there together, man.
And everybody's like, did Dave just go, what's up? What's up? Yeah, we did. I did.
Sure did. Yeah, man.
That was a real thing.
that just happened.
It did. People don't even know.
They don't know it, man. I know it. So yeah, met my wife on MySpace, man, moved to Greenville, South Carolina, and became a part of a mega church in South Carolina, again, because bigger, better, TV, whatever. And so we were part of the church, and, you know, and I was, you know, trying to learn and grow and everything in that area, in that space. And my wife was really into liturgical dance. You know, those that may not know, it's the ladies that would dance with flags and stuff. And we actually got connected with a couple out of Dallas that the wife was really like kind of like the kind of, you could say, a head, or, you know, she did a lot of conferences and stuff. And so we went to them and they kind of pulled us in, to, you know, to be our mentors. And they suggested that we take their spiritual gift class, you know, which is, you know, you find out what your spiritual gift is. You know, it's the fivefold ministry gift. You know, you take this class, you read these books, you know. You take these papers, and then at the end they say, hey, you are, you know, prophet, apostle, whatever. So, you know, we did ours, and at the end of the ceremony, it was like, you know, we're going to release you as an apostle, me and my wife. So that's how I was introduced. They were connected. Y'all can't see it, but David is choking because of my crazy story. He get me with a David Stern choke, but yeah, so that is how I was introduced. This couple was actually connected to what's his name, Chuck Pierce, which is, if you know anything about the NAR and their descendants, he's like a direct from C. Peter Wagner. And so you know, we went to Gloria Zion, and we witnessed, you know, some of the real time prophecies that go on during the service, and like we were right in the middle of that, man. So that's how I got connected. I don't know if you want me to keep going or what.
keep going.
Yeah, man. So it's funny, man, because I remember changing my Twitter and putting like apostle in the description, and you know, I was like, I didn't know if I wanted to change my Facebook. You know, I remember this, and I remember when I did it on Twitter, and like these guys like immediately started trolling me. At least I thought they were. It was like, man, how are you an apostle? You didn't see Christ rise. You know, you didn't. I was like, what? That block? You don't know? You in the old? You know, like thinking that they didn't know what they were talking about, man. And so I stayed in that realm, man. But one thing that was always a constant between Word of Faith, Charismatic, and even the NAR was money. Money was always the central part of all of those. It was a new way to give, whether it's a first fruit, whether it's a, you know, planting a seed, or, you know, giving this and giving that. And that started to bother me, man, because it was the common theme between all of those different ideologies or whatever. And I was like, man, it, you know, it can't be about money. You know, you give a certain amount of money and you get a prophecy. You get a give a certain amount of money and, you know, it's going to take $5,000 to do this. And, you know, it bothered me, man. And so I really kind of started reverting back, man, and just kind of started to look at things, you know, on my own. It's just like, okay, you know, this whole apostle thing, is this a thing? And I started watching guys. I started watching, ironically, a lot of fundamental Baptist guys. Because I was so like anti-charismatic, you know, because I mean, even the big mega church was that we had pyros and lights and smoke, and you know, it was a whole to-do, man. So I would, in my mind, I was like, man, I'm gonna go back to nothing, you know, go back to the fundamental Baptist, King James only, you know. And I was going in that direction, man, because also simultaneously, YouTube was getting popular. And so a lot of the whole conspiracy theory stuff started, you know, popping up a lot. And I got into that, man. That intrigued me because I did a lot with music, and, you know, they were talking about how music and the devil, whatever. So going in that realm, conspiracy theory and the fundamental Baptist, I started to pull away from the NAR movement, merely out of just like tired of just the money aspect and the manipulation. And then once, you know, on the outside looking in, start to questioning these so-called miracles, you know, that were happening and they were doing and things like that, man. It's so funny, man, because I was hardcore King James and I was still going to these churches, but in my mind and on a personal, I was like in this different direction. Like I wasn't really paying attention. And, you know, I was thinking to myself this, and I would try to interject here and there. And then a coworker of mine overheard me talking about, there was a debate that I was watching. It was Calvinism versus Arminian. And I was like, you know, and I was talking to somebody about it, and it was just, you know, YouTube, man. I was YouTube and I talked to somebody about it, and my coworker overheard it. He was like, hey, you want to learn about Calvinism? Yeah. You interested? And I was like, yeah, man. And in my mind, I'm thinking like, yeah, I'm a learn everything. And then I'm a flip it and show him how it's not biblical. You know, he got that ESV Bible, and you know, that ain't God's word. You know, in my mind, that's what I'm thinking. So he takes me in his office, man. Literally, for a couple of months, man, I would meet him in his office for lunch, and we went through was it a London Baptist Confession? No, it actually wasn't. It was, man, I can't think now, drawing a blank.
Was it the Westminster Confession?
Yes, Westminster. Yes. Yeah. He took me through lines.
I'm here for you, man.
I appreciate you, brother. Get my back. Too. Yeah, man. So he took me through it, man. He would read a line and turn around and it's like, what do you think about that? Let's talk about it. Let's look at the scripture reference. Like we went through it, And when it was over, I was like, dang, I think I'm a Calvinist. Like everything he said was, you know, it made sense and I believed it, man. And so he gave me, I used to call it the three pillars, man, but it's amazing what time does. But he gave me three podcasts to listen to, which was Renewing Your Mind, Grace to You, and True for Life. So the last one, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's another episode. But anyway, so that is the story, man. From that, I found a whole lot of other resources and haven't looked back, man. Found a good biblical church when I moved to North Carolina, and just been in this direction, man, ever since, man. So That is my long-winded story, man.
So what I heard you say is what took you out of, the NAR really was, that pastor helping you,
Yes.
walking alongside of you and teaching you more about
Yes.
what the Bible and theology is, right?
Absolutely. Yep. That was the thing that took me right where I needed to be. Somebody shepherding me and actually walking me through that. Absolutely.
And that's such an important thing, that's not a neglected thing. I mean, it is kind of in some way a neglected thing because I know a lot of Christians, they think, what you just said, that's for the ivory tower, but you said I'm not an ivory tower guy. I'm just an average
No.
guy. It's, and I but you were led into this by, like you said, you just want to watch TV. And there's a lot of people that just watch TV,
Yep.
and that just says a lot right there. Like, what would you say to that person who does watch that TV? They have even a family member who watched that TV. I know I had family members who watched TV, and I'm always telling them, don't watch that. Get yourself plugged in. This is like so bad. So,
Yeah.
from your perspective, when you were in it and you were in that, what would you say to somebody that's watching that now or has a family member that's watching it?
Yeah, so I would let them know, man, the 'cause here's the thing that you don't understand. You think you're on TV because of your anointing or because you have, you're popular. The only thing that puts you on TBN is a check. You write your check, they will put you on. I don't care what you got to say. I don't care how many people in your church. If you can write the check to fill that time slot, you will be in that time slot. And when you don't write that check, you will not be in that time slot. So to the people that are watching on TV, man, I'll say, don't put your stock in those folks, man, because it don't make them biblical. It don't make them, right. It don't make anything that they're doing or saying right. All it's saying is they can pay their bills. That's all it says when you see them on TV. And the reason why I say that is because when we were in Greenville and the pastor that we were under, he went on and had like this phenomenal like session when they brought him on, and it was so hot, happy, and they gave him a time slot, and it was like, you don't have to pay for the time slot, you killed it, blah 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 blah. And then they was like, okay, we need to pick up payments on these joints. And yeah, then the time slot got it got switched up, man, because again, it really, it's all money, man. That's what you see on TV. You somebody that paid for that time slot. It was not approved. It didn't go through any, like making sure it was biblical. None of that. That time slot was paid for.
Yeah. Why should people be concerned about the growing influence of the NAR?
Bro, so it's so attractive, I'll say that. And 'cause even in my mind, I remember thinking like, my mom, and I was like, man, y'all got the old time religion. Like, this is the new wine skin. This is something new, and you should be leery of it, man, because it that whenever you go away from sola scriptura, whenever you go to extra biblical anything, that can lead to your detriment because you're dependent on the word of a man. He can get up if you're calling somebody an apostle and you're saying his word is authentic, then he literally can get up and say, all right, next Sunday, everybody come in here with no shoes because God said this is holy ground. That's the, he li and what are you to say? Oh, the man of God, he heard from God. That's why you see all that crazy stuff in Africa. It's the same thing. And again, when you go away from scripture, when you put authority in man's hands, and that's what it does. When the NAR is about giving, it's the time of the apostles, so it's saying that they have the authority and the strength and the signs of an apostle. Now, when you do that, it's going to lead you left every time, no doubt about it.
Yeah. I remember first learning about this. I think it was yeah, think here for just a minute. I think it was like 2010 or so. And I started looking into it. No, it was, sorry, it was 2012. I was just out of seminary and I was even doing professional research work for an organization and started learning about it and I was like, there's no way this is going to catch on. And then, you fast forward now all these years, and man, what do you see? You see that
Yeah.
I talked with Holly Pivick about that, Don Hill. Yeah. I mean, Richard Moore, and it just flabbergasted me that this took off to the degree that it has. Because, I mean, now you see them in the National Day of Prayer. You see them all over the place, and it's like,
yes.
Now I'm just like, man, and now I'm like, I'm gonna be one of the loudest people out there about it, and I have been now for a while, and it just concerns me. It concerns me. Like, for the reasons that you said, because it can be so subtle.
Yep.
It can be so subtle, and then you realize, wait, that's what that is?
Yep. It's super sneaky, bro. It's super sneaky because it looks like it's biblical. It looks like it has the appearance of that. And then also, it speaks to pride, because everybody wants to be elevated. And so, you know, at one time, everybody wanted to be bishops, and like, oh, now everybody want to be apostles, you know, now, you know, you got the chief apostle and all that. And so it speaks to that pride, man, that goes on. And I'll never forget, you know, he wasn't this, I'm quoting him, but, you know, he wasn't a sound teacher. But I remember how Eddie Long would say, you know, guys that don't get a promotion or aren't successful on their regular jobs, they seek after those titles because they need that affirmation. Like, I can't, you know, perform in the real world, so I'm gonna be the apostle of the church. You know, I'm gonna get, you know, so, and because it's self-proclaimed, it's not like you have to earn it unless you take a class like I did. You know, I earned my apostleship, but
yeah,
but it's one of those things, man.
Yeah, one of my pastor friends, he says, you know, people go in, a lot of guys go into the ministry because they're just flat out lazy.
Yes.
And that's because they go into the ministry, they go to hide. And it's,
yes,
it's unfortunately true. I mean, that's the opposite of what you're describing, but it's also the kind of the same thing. It's, yep, like, I'm going to go in the back door, I'm going to get a title and a promotion, mm-hmm, and I'll even work hard for my degree. And then when I get the degree and get in the pastor office or whatever, they don't work hard. They don't.
Yep.
You know, it's
tragic. the old PE teacher thing, man. You get your PE teacher degree, and then you roll the ball out and read the newspaper.
That's funny. Well, let's switch gears a little bit. You know, I know that you do podcast coaching for people.
Yes. And,
you know, I also do, you know, video editing, podcast editing. We, you know, we have kind of the same sort of experience, minus the fact of, you know, kind of my experience in ministry and at formal education. Yeah, you know, we pretty much have similar, like, kind of interests in those kind of things. So,
yeah, man,
I'm interested. Yeah, right. What are your best podcasting tips for those that want to get into podcasting?
Man, listen, you know, and this is probably one of yours too. My absolute favorite tip, man, is the Nike. Just do it, man. A lot of people sputter, spin, they try to overthink it. You will not have the perfect show the very first time you hit record. It will not happen. Go ahead and get it out the way. You know, a lot of people spin and sputter over equipment. Now, right now, in 2024, if you got a phone, you have a whole podcast studio in your hand. Literally, there are so many tools and things that you can do right with your phone, man. So my number one tip is always get started. Do it. Don't overthink it. What I love about podcasting is there is no NBC, there is no ABC, there's nobody dictating what you can do, when you can do, where you can do. You are your own boss when it comes to podcasting. You can turn it and twist it any which way. You can start out saying, this is going to be a fitness podcast, and he's like, oh, wait a minute, I don't know enough about fitness. Now, welcome to the entertainment podcast. Oh, wait a minute, I don't know, this is the sports podcast. And you just have archives of just different genres. That's just you literally can do that, man, with podcasting. And that's the beauty of it, man. So my number one advice, bro, is get started. Just get started. Don't think twice about it. I can help people with, you know, logos and intros and editing, all that stuff. But yeah, just get started, man.
Yeah, that's good. And don't be afraid to make mistakes, you know.
Absolutely.
Some people think Dave doesn't make any mistakes. I'm like, well, boy, you don't know me very well. I just edit it out good, you know. I clean that stuff up.
Absolutely.
But, I'll be recording and I'll be like, nope, Dave, I'll even tell myself this. Dave, you got to take that out. Because that's not clear. That's going to confuse somebody, or they're going to be like, "What were you even talking about?" There?
Yep.
No. And I'll have to. Funny enough, it's actually with my Reading the Bible Daily with Dave podcast, which you would think that I wouldn't make that many mistakes doing that, but man, I make all sorts of mistakes. It's
I'm
actually
sure.
kind of funny. You know, if I was to have a bloopers, like, you
I
know,
was just about to
Lord
say
Hertford, Lord Hertford, some people probably would never pay attention to me, or they would just be like, I'm gonna do that on like steroids, you know, I'm a loop, you know, but you know, but we all make mistakes. Don't be afraid to make
Absolutely.
Mistakes. The most intimidating ones, when I have to go on live radio, I'm like, I have to calm myself down and pray, and I'm like, slow down. Am I? Especially when I get a little bit excited, as you know, then that's when I make a few mistakes, and so I just have to remind myself, slow down a little bit, and then I'm good. But you know, don't be afraid to make mistakes. Don't be afraid.
Absolutely.
You know, you don't have to edit those out. You don't have to edit out like all every treat it like you're in a like you're having that conversation with a friend at a coffee shop when you're editing.
That's what I was about to say. You can be clean like Dave, or you just label it rough and raw like mine, and just leave all the mistakes. Like, hey, this is rugged. This is real conversation. That's all you gotta say.
I used to be much more rigid in my editing. I mean, it was sort of ridiculous. You know, when a couple of years ago, I would like edit out all the ums and everything, and now I'm just like, you know, I was talking with our friend Drew Von Nita about it, and he's like, nah, don't do that, that's not even worth it. I'm like, no, it's really not. So now I have a program, an AI program, and it edits out all the spaces and the things, and then I just go through it and edit it, and I'm done, you know. So
yeah, man,
it's a little
AI
more.
I love AI, man. I use the tool. You got to use the tools, man.
Autopod. I use Autopod. You heard of that one?
Yeah, I actually have. I don't have it, but yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, you got to use the tools, man. I'm all about taking advantage of technology and you know, again, not a recommendation, but Gary Vee talks about, you know, if you're not using AI every day, you know, you're going to be behind. Just like he's like he actually equates it to email. You know, when email came around and people didn't latch on to email, you know, and you know those folks that still like don't do emails, like, yeah, so you don't want to be that guy in 2035 not knowing how to use AI.
Right. Well, what tips do you have for those who are more experienced in podcasting? They want to continue to grow in the craft.
Yeah, man. So for the vets like myself, man, really, it boils down to keeping that passion with consistency. Dave is a great picture of consistency, man. I don't know how you do it sometimes, but yeah. So another thing is finding the thing you love, man. What was the reason why you started this podcast? Why did you want to do that? And go back to the basics of just thinking about that. Once you start doing that, it'll light a fire, man. I went through a season of not really doing it, man. I'll just be honest and transparent. And a lot of my friends reached out and they just kind of reminded me, like, you know, why I started doing all of this years ago. So I'll always say, go back to your first love, man, and always, you know, concentrate and think about that, man, for real. Cause that will ignite a fire back in you to keep you going, and then be encouraged, man. Another last thing, man, on the tips. I know it's about three tips, but don't worry about the numbers, man. If you're a believer, it's not for that. It's for God's glory. It don't matter how many downloads. You know, it sounds good, it looks good, but at the end of the day, it's all about giving God glory, man. So make that the first and foremost, most important thing.
That's a good word, man. It isn't about numbers. You know, numbers represent real people, and that's real people being helped, but don't do it for the numbers. That'll burn out. You'll burn out so fast you won't even know what to do, and then you're going to quit. You know, in terms of how I keep going, it honestly is just like you said, it's just a keeping my head down and, you know, realizing, you know, that God has given me a platform and a vehicle, and a lot of people do listen. And so, you know, sometimes I don't want to let people down, and other times I'm just like head down grinding, you know. It's just, it's just to keep going. And then I got that military work ethic, man, from my dad.
I love it.
So I just keep going. And then, of course, there's the grace of God. And so there's a whole bunch of things. But, you know, sometimes, you know, I got to just chill out and, you know, take a break. And there's nothing wrong with letting people know, hey, I'm taking a break. And so far, I haven't had to do that too often by God's kindness. And so, you know, but if it ever came to the point where, like, I was so sick and not able to record or something like that, or going through a really bad season, you know, when my parents tragically die of dementia and Alzheimer's, I can promise you there'll be a couple of probably months where there's no new episodes at all. And some people are going to be like, what in the world is happening here? But there'll be a message coming out where I let people know, hey, I'm going to take some extended time off.
Right. And, right.
You know, so there's that. It's okay to keep going, but it's also okay to realize to step back for a time, or maybe even step away. You know, this podcasting can be hard. It can be draining, you know, and it's even more draining when you make it when we make it more about the numbers, you know, it's you gotta realize that this is I think of it this way, you know, as somebody who does preach and those things, it's like I'm speaking to people, but I'm not speaking to them face to face. I got them, like you say, in their earbuds, and they're watching me. And so I really want to speak to hearts and minister to them and help them. And so that's the same for me with writing. And so if you view your podcasting that way, it can turn it around the other way, like you would lead a Bible study or counsel somebody. And if you view podcasting in that way, it can really be a ministry, and it can really be helpful to people. And people will notice that. See, the difference between one of my pastors, former pastors, he was in ministry for 40 plus years. He said, Dave, don't give him the lecture, you know, really focus on yeah, give him the information, give him the thing, but focus also on how they can be transformed. That's kind of what I'm talking about here, is don't just focus on the content, focus on taking that content and speaking to people's hearts. And especially with Christian podcasting, like we're talking about, we're talking about ministering to people's hearts with the gospel and making disciples of the nations and strengthening people for the glory of God. And so, yeah. Do you want to add any of that?
Bro, no, that was solid. That was solid, spot on. I definitely agree with that, especially the taking breaks and just, you know, reminding us why we do this. So, yeah, you're good on that, boss.
Yeah, yeah. So, brother, tell us, where can we find you on social media or otherwise?
Yeah, man. Just my name, DAWAIN, the number 21, on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter, all those places. If you search the Bar Podcast in those same places, you'll find the network and other podcasts and things like that. But yeah, man, hit me up, DM me. I always respond. It might be delayed, but I will respond, especially if you're looking for help with podcasting or whatever, or just want to ask me a question, whatever. I'm human. I always tell people, whenever I started podcasting, I reached out to quite a few folks that did not respond or gave me the short answer. And so I vowed to always respond and give people all my attention when they reach out, man, especially when it's dealing with podcasts, because I know how it feels not to get that. So feel free to reach out, Dwayne21, at all the locations.
Yeah, that's good, brother. And I remember the first time going on your show, I was like, hey, you know, this is cool. You know, he Jim Wayne does a really good job with his signature questions.
Yeah,
and drawing you in. So, brother, do you have any final thoughts that you want to share with us as we wrap up this conversation today?
Absolutely, man. So I would be remiss if I didn't end with the gospel, man. You know, God created this perfect world. And because of the enemy, man, sin, fell, separated us from God. And the only way that we could be reconnected was if God was to send his only son down to earth, lived the perfect life, died on the cross, took on our sins, took on all of our shortcomings, paid that punishment, then got up and now seated at the right hand of the Father, and his righteousness has been imputed to us that we may have everlasting life if we believe in him, man. So no better message to end on than the gospel.
Amen, brother. Well, thank you so much for joining us on Equip You in Grace, brother. It's always encouraging. It's always a good conversation. Appreciate you and all that the team at the bar is doing. Yeah, so many solid brothers and sisters. Marcy Farrell, one thankful homemaker. Of course, our friend, our sister, Doreen Virtue, New Age, New Hearts, Just Thinking.
Yeah,
man, it just goes on and on and on. So I would encourage you guys to check out the bar. And
yeah, God's been good, brother. Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to the Equipping You in Grace podcast. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe, rate us on the app, and share this with your friends and family on social media. If you want to find us on social media, you can find us on Twitter at Servants of Grace, on Instagram at Servants of Grace, or by searching at Servants of Grace on Facebook. You can also find this episode and many others like it on the front page of our website, servantsofgrace.org.